The word today is Simeon. Welcome to The Word Today with the late pastor and Bible teacher Paul Schrader. In Old Testament days, God promised an old man named Simeon that he would live to see the Messiah born. God kept his promise. Simeon saw Christ, and he prayed a prayer of thanksgiving. Here from our archives with more on this story is Pastor Paul Schrader on The Word Today, Simeon.
Since we have so many stations that broadcast this program all over the world, it's very difficult to keep a time schedule, and so it's possible that you're listening to me in the middle of the year. It's also possible that you're coming close to the end of the year, and in some cases, a few stations are probably starting the year with these broadcasts. So it's very difficult to know just what the timing is in your part of the world and in your nation. There are actually 54 different nations, 54 different countries that are hearing this broadcast, and therefore there's a difficulty keeping track of what time of year it is and to make the comments that are made during the calendar year, I suppose, would be a little confusing to people. But I'm going to take a risk today and make a comment that in some cases will be close enough to the beginning of the new year that some people will see that there's a thought here and a thought that will benefit us very well. I'm thinking of the circumcision of Jesus. You remember that Jesus was born to the Virgin Mary. The whole Christmas event, the whole incarnation, as we call it, the coming in flesh, that God, the Father in heaven, sent his Son Jesus, born of the Virgin Mary, not by human conception, but by the conception of the Holy Spirit. It was a miracle, a gift of God to the human race, so that not only would Jesus be God, true God, but also true man, born of the Virgin Mary. And therefore, true God, because he needed to be God in order to take our sins away, and he needed to be true man in order to be able to die on the cross. And so you have Jesus Christ, God and man. Now, you know, I hope every one of you listening to the tone of my voice and to the words will know the meaning of Christmas, that Jesus Christ took on human flesh in order to die for the sins of the world. That because of our sin, somebody had to pay the price, and we certainly couldn't. We had no way of regaining perfection. We had no way of getting rid of a single sin. And so God, in his mercy and in his goodness, had pity on us and mercy on us and love on us, and he sent his Son Jesus, the incarnation of Jesus Christ, into the Virgin Mary, that she now gave birth to the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, and now was both man and God, and as a result became our Lord and Savior. And through his suffering and death on the cross in our place, and his resurrection on Easter morning, you remember the joy of his defeating Satan and death, that he now is our Lord and Savior, always has been, always will be. Now, with that kind of a background and thinking of, regardless what time of year it is right now for you in your part of the world, I want to think just for a few moments yet about two people that are mentioned in the second chapter of Luke. Luke 2 gives you the background of two people, one by the name of Simeon, and the other name is Anna. Both of these were people that dwelt in the temple, lived in the temple. They were very pious, religious people, and as a result were there every day for their prayers. And in both cases, they are so faithful and committed to the Lord that in the first case, Simeon, the Holy Spirit had come to Simeon and said, "Simeon, I'm going to give you a special blessing. You know that the coming of the Christ child has been prophesied by the Old Testament prophets, and you've been waiting and waiting and waiting for his coming. Well, I'm going to make you a promise, and we're told about this in the second chapter of Luke. I'm going to promise you that you will stay alive until the day that you see this Christ child in your hands, and you're going to see him before you die. Well, no doubt Simeon had heard about the birth of Christ and was waiting day by day by day, and this day he comes in the temple, and he's expecting Mary, Joseph, and the little baby, and sure enough, here they come for the circumcision. And we're told about this in the second chapter of Luke, and he sees this Christ child, picks him up in his arms, and says the little verse, it's actually a little song, a little prayer. I love this little verse, and it's in the second chapter of Luke, verses 29 to 32. As a matter of fact, this translation is a very good one. I think I'll read it for you since you may not have a Bible handy. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart to peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light of revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. That's called the Nunc Dimittis in Latin. And I can remember being a Lutheran in my early years memorizing that prayer because it was a beautiful prayer, and you would think of Simeon standing there looking at the Christ child and say, thank you, God, for keeping your promise to me. I have stayed alive in order to see this Christ child. Here he is. This is our Lord and Savior. He came to take our place. He is going to pay the price for sin by his suffering and death on the cross, and he's going to be victorious over death by Easter morning rising from the dead and earning for us the gift of eternal life and salvation. This Nunc Dimittis, this now let your servant depart in peace, and I can remember way back in the King James Version memorizing those words, a light to lighten the Gentiles and to show them the way. And here we have in this newer translation, NIV, it is a showing to the Gentile world, the Savior. I had no idea how long I was going to be talking about Simeon and Anna here, but boy, my time is disappearing. I'm going to have to kind of rush here to get some extra thoughts in at the end of our program. But it'll do us good to think of Simeon and Anna, especially their desire to worship and praise God. And you remember in Luke 2, it says that Anna was always available to talk with people and to tell them about this coming Messiah. And so we can take our pattern from this and share the good news of salvation, regardless of what time of year it is, especially in the church year. So anyway, let's kind of shift topics here. Next week, I'm going to talk about good works. This seems to be one of the problems yet within the Christian church, that there are many people who don't understand good works. Some, on the one hand, try to act as though you can earn your way to heaven, which we know is strictly talked about in the New Testament over and over and over again. You cannot earn a free gift. God has given us the gift of salvation. It's his free gift to us. Cannot be earned, cannot be deserved. And so it's really stupid to try and do a lot of things to think that thereby you are pleasing God and you're gaining your way to heaven. That's really stupid. That's not at all in agreement with what God's word says. Now, on the other hand, you have groups of people that say, well, as long as you're saved and it's a free gift of God, I guess it doesn't matter then what you do or how you act. And, of course, that's also stupid. You know, there are so many false teachings. The devil raises up thoughts in people's minds, and they begin to say, well, I don't think this is true, or I don't think that is true. And as a result, before long, you have a whole group of people believing something that's false and non-biblical. It's clear in the Bible that God wants us to do good works, but not so that we can earn heaven. The gift of heaven is eternal life that God gives to those who believe in his Son, Jesus Christ. That's free, cannot be deserved, Can that be earned in any way? Can that be cooperated with God? There is nothing we can do. Since salvation is God's free gift to us, it is his gift without us in any way deserving or earning it. On the other hand, those that say, well, then I guess it doesn't matter how you live. Well, that's really stupid, isn't it? We probably shouldn't even take time to correct that because it's so obvious that God wants us to live lives that are thankful and full of joy and happiness and thanksgiving to him. So he wants us to give thanks, and part of giving thanks is to do good works that please him, to show that we are thankful for the gift of eternal life. In fact, in the fourth chapter, actually it starts with the second chapter of the book of James in the New Testament. In the second chapter of the book of James, I could give you verse 17, verse 18, verse 24, verse 26. You could just go on right on through. It tells us how important it is for us to do good works because God wants the faith to be verified. He wants our faith to be real and genuine. If you don't do good works at all and you say, I'm not going to pray, I'm not going to worship, I'm not going to witness to other people, and you're just dead, there's no life there, James says then that faith is a dead faith. It's not living, it's not real. Because if it's alive and God's Holy Spirit is in you and it's true and you genuinely do believe in God, then obviously you're going to do something in your life to show it. And you're going to give thanks to God and you're going to praise him. And that's where good works come in. You've been given the gift of eternal life and now you want to thank him and you want to praise him. So you do things that please him. You pray, you worship, you witness to other people. That's a primary thing, to tell other people about Jesus, because they can't be saved unless they know about Jesus. So one of the primary works of every good Christian is to say, I love Jesus, he died for me, he loves you, he died for you. Trust in him, believe in him, and you will have eternal life. That's the promise that Jesus has given to all those who believe in him. We trust him as our Lord and Savior. We believe him to be the true Savior of the world, and through him we have the gift of eternal life.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word Today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you, so visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word Today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word Today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word Today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide. And as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word Today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.